It's a hell of a trip to be back here. Last time I was here, it was not like this. This is an amazing night. I noticed in the newspapers that Jack White had been giving some people some shit. So good old Jack, this one's for you. Give it up.
This is Brian, call me, Jimmy Page's lawyer, whose kingdom must come down, Gardner, coming to you from the Devil's Hole, a.k.a. Ramblin' Towers, Dungeon Studio, in scenic Hespler, Ontario. And you are listening to Ramblin' Radio, episode 106. Ramblin' Radio is the only Led Zeppelin podcast on this or any other known internets. Be sure to go to ramblinradio.com for all your Led Zeppelin news, reviews, and any links I might mention during the show. You can subscribe to Ramble on Radio through iTunes. If you're in iTunes, if you're picking up whatever you need to pick up in iTunes, pop over to Ramble. Do a quick search for Ramble on Radio. Search it and leave a review. Or if you happen to be on Ramble on Radio on iTunes, whatever. Leave a review, a couple stars, 1, 3, 5, whatever you want. And it helps me out with iTunes recognizing that this podcast is there. You can listen to Ramble on Radio on Podbean at I Am Brian Dammit. And listen on Spreaker, Spreaker.com. And if you're over at Spreaker, be sure to follow Ramble on Radio on Spreaker. You don't have to listen to us there, just follow. Get enough follows in there and I can apply to iHeartRadio with this podcast. Which I have done in the past, but they like to see like 100 follows, and I got 12 or something. So and then check out Ramble on Radio on YouTube, where there is some previous episodes. You can have a peek at what I look at. You can look at the Dungeon Studio. Also, follow Ramble on Radio on Facebook, Google+, and at Ramble on Blog on Twitter. And I do try to be responsive to those things, although Google+, I can't remember the last time I was on that. Does anybody use Google+? Every time I do go over, it seems to be nothing's happening anyway. The Facebook page has been reasonably active this week. In part because Robert was in Toronto. And I posted a few things about the Toronto. One was actually critiquing him as doing a 1 hour, 15 minute show. And it was one of the local radio stations that said somebody had complained about that. And they kind of used that as a jumping off point to how long should a concert be. So I posted that up and that generated some talk, most of which was, you know, people there who said, no, it wasn't an hour 15. It sounds like it was actually about an hour 40 minutes is what he played. That seems to be the more or less the consensus. Maybe this person showed up late. I don't know. Whoever the 1:15 or left before the encore. That's it. What? Oh, there was an encore. Oh. Didn't know people do those anymore. And some action on the Twitter account. I was flaming Live Nation because they didn't give me a pat. We'll get to that. A little little bit of bookkeeping. Podbean. I mentioned I'm Brian Dammit on Podbean. It's the host server for this podcast. I have actually spent the money. People who drop $20 or $25 or whatever or $10 in my PayPal, thank you so much. Anybody else who wants to, I'm still a little out of pocket on this expense, but I did buy server space on Podbean. I've been using the free for the last 4 or 5 years. The advantage of the purchased is A, it upgrades my statistics, so I have a better idea of what who's listening. Although I still have to sort out what a lot of that stuff means, including the bit where my it's 70,000 hits on the on my feed. The podcast is on a feed, right? 70,000 hits on the feed. I have no idea where they came from. And that's, but it's a number I threw out there when I was bitching about, I have no idea what it means. But it's a lot of people for the last 30 days to be anything near my feed is the point, I guess. And, so yeah, I was kind of flaming Live Nation because they let me down on the review, and they would rather send, the Madonna fan from Toronto Sun than the Robert Plant fan with 11,000, I think it was 11,000 hits a month on his feed. The purchase, it's bought, and if you're inclined, just PayPal, drop $20, $10, $20, $15, $25, several hundred dollars, whatever, at Brian@BrianGardner.ca or RambleOn@BrianGardner.ca. I'll get it both ways. If you go to the page, go to the web page, and I have to update the page in a number of ways, including this. But you can go there and kind of click on a link that sends money. Okay, that was that. And the intro was Killing Floor. That was from Toronto. Listen to that audience. They were digging the show. It sounded lively. Sounded like Plant was on form. He says at the beginning, it's a good night. He's a lot better than last time we were here. I don't know what that's supposed to mean, but everybody was sounding really, really into the show. And just sounded like they were dead. I've not heard the show yet. I've seen some video clips from it. That was a clip from it. That was a sound bite off a YouTube clip, The Killing Floor. And I'm going to outro, by the way, with about 3 minutes of Black Country Woman, which he also has been playing lately. It also sounds very good. He's got the harp out. He's playing some harp on that. Plant is doing currently... I'm getting ahead of myself here. So let's say I'm going to get to Robert Plant, and because that's today's topic. We've got some other stuff to talk about first. Got some other stuff. First is the old in history. On September 11, 1980, so we're going into, 10 days ago now. And apologies, I was supposed to do one last week. I'm about 3 or 4 days behind on rolling out this podcast. And the reason being, simply the same reason last one, I'm just having a hard time getting an hour to myself without people running around the house when I'm expecting nobody to be here. There's lots of people here. And it's just one of those situations. And it's just teenagers in the house, and they move at different times. And with school back, and they're both in different situations than they were a year or two ago. So we're just settling into new routines. And so I'm having a hard time. And by the way, I'm not complaining about my family, or it's just a fact. It's not a complaint. But yeah, we're settling into new routines here. And one of the processes of that routine is I'm having a hard time just finding an hour to go off into a quiet corner. I'm having a hard time finding a quiet corner to go off to for an hour. Let's put it that way. And we're finding an hour when it's not everybody around. And so bear with me while we get that. And these things, September's always a bit crazy. If you have kids, you know this thing. Things go into chaos mode in September just because you're trying to settle into new routines and whatnot. So that's, yeah. All right, so we're going back to September 11. Led Zeppelin announced the details of their 1980 North American tour, Led Zeppelin, the 80s Part 1, which was set to go off on October 17th in Montreal. I will be talking more about this tour that didn't happen in the next few weeks, by the way. On September 12th, 2007, 27 years to the day plus one later, the O2 show was announced, that fabulous show at London's O2 Arena. Tickets would go on sale about 4 weeks after that. I can assure you, because it was October, I go away fairly regularly the first or second week in October, and I had just come back from that. When I got the tickets. October 15, 2011. This story is a long-time favorite of this show. By the way, those were not September, those were October. October 11, October 12. Sorry about that. I have September written on my book, but it's... No, this is September. Oh, now I'm all confused. September 15, 2011. Early on in the show, I ran this story. It was a favorite story. It was one when I was putting clips together for the 100th that I didn't end up using. This was one of the clips that I put aside, was this story. And it led, by the way, to... I may have even used maybe one of the very few clips I use in that show. And it led to directly to me going with... when I start every show, I say, "My name is Brian. Call me Achilles. Call me the devil who has his due," whatever. That came from this. It's a direct offshoot from this. So this is George F. Blackburn of Missouri changed his name to Led Zeppelin 2. "I reinvented myself," he said. "Since I've become Led Zeppelin 2, my life has improved 1,000-fold. And if you're looking for the irony alert, he died about a year, maybe 18 months later. He was dead not very long after this. So his life improved 1,000-fold, but it's... it didn't last. Because the devil always gets his due, doesn't he? September 16, 1970, Led Zeppelin won the Best Group and Album in the Melody Maker Readers' Poll. And September 20, 1968, Led Zeppelin, recording under the name The Yardbirds, started recording their debut album at Olympic Studios. The album took 36 hours and cost around £1,782. That's approximately 1,000. It could be 1,782.50, but we don't know. that's a fairly precise number. It cost approximately around 1782. Yeah, it could have been 1781 and a shilling. Okay, and the must mention file, the stuff that's out there. A couple of interesting things. Genesis. Publication, who did Jimmy Page's book, have announced they're doing a Jeff Beck book, signed limited edition book by Jeff Beck that explores his life in music and love of hot rods. It's a picture book. I'm sure it'll have some Yardbird / Jimmy Pagey pictures. But it's kind of a side note for us Led Zeppelin fans, really, is Jeff Beck. He's got a book, and it'll be expensive. It'll be pricey, guys. But that's what it is. It's what Jimmy Page's was. It was expensive. But if you like that sort of thing, there's a Jeff Beck one coming, and you may want to go to Genesis Publications website and get yourself on the mailing list. We've heard a bit from Jimmy Page in the last week. He's a couple of things have come up, and they're kind of odd little stories, but they add up to something. Maybe they add up to something. There was a picture on Facebook of a guitar he sent into California to have repaired. And the guy, the luthier who did the repair, kind of said, "I love my job." And he posted a picture. "This is a guitar I fixed really, really recently. It belongs to Jimmy Page." And then there's a story that he was buying a bunch of custom-made straps from a straps company, I guess, website, I don't know, in the U.S. And then yesterday was a story that he was at the music store looking at amplifiers, looking at pig nose amps, I think they're called. Don't have an opinion on those amps, by the way. I'm not an equipment geek. There's all sorts of little equipment out there. I have no idea. I kind of know what I got, know what I like. I've fooled around with stuff to figure out what I like, got what I like through the years, and I've left it at that, more or less, you know? So I couldn't tell you about these amplifiers. But together, put together, you start getting a picture of a guy who's playing, or at least preparing to play, right? So the guitar is getting repaired. So it sounds like he's almost doing an inventory, right? And going through his guitars. Oh, look, this one's got a problem. Let's get it fixed. Oh, you know what? I don't have very many straps. Oh, you know what I need? I need a little practice amp. Almost sounds like that sort of thing. And it could be that he's in the studio and they're saying, oh, no, I want this guitar for this song. Whoever's working engineering with him says, you know what would sound great in this? One of those little bullnose amplifiers. Could be that sort of thing is going on right now, but it certainly seems that he's preparing to play. Whether anything will ever come of it that we would know of, who knows? I made the crack earlier on for Badger's Older. Somebody said, well, you know, at least he can go play on the street corner and then, quote-unquote, be seen to be playing, which is a quote he's used, and wants to be seen to be playing. And I made the crack, well, actually, you know, fixing a guitar, purchasing straps, buying an amplifier, gets us speculating that he's playing, therefore he has already seen to be playing, because we see that he is probably playing. You know, to be, you're talking about going, whether you see him on the street corner or on stage, you're talking about see him playing, not seem to be playing. So you know, technically I think he's now, we can now say he's seen to be playing, so it's good enough, and he can get back to those firm remasters or whatever. But hopefully, look, let's Jimmy's talked a lot through the years, the last 5, 6, 7 years, about playing, about being seen to be playing, about doing all, you know, there's all sorts of phrases he's used. And maybe he will, maybe he won't. But it sounds like he's at least directing his energies in that general direction right now. Let's put it that way, and hope that means something's coming, which would be great. I want to thank John Paul Jones Management. They actually answered an email. People who've been listening to this for a long time know I get no response from people. John Paul Jones's people have never responded. Jimmy Page's people never responded. Robert Plant's people I don't even have an email address for. And as pointed out, Live Nation, they did respond to my email, but they basically responded going, go to this webpage and log in and we'll see what we can do. And then they could do nothing. It was a blow-off email. Thanks, Aaron Smythe of Live Nation, for blowing me off that way. Useful she isn't. And it didn't get done. So therefore, we do not have a proper Toronto review here. You, as Led Zeppelin fans, people who seek out Led Zeppelin information on a regular basis, you don't count in the world of Live Nation and Robert Plant. Go to the dead and dying newspapers and get your information there. That's what they're telling you, even though that's not where you go for said information anymore. But John Paul Jones's manager, or management, did in fact very politely answer my request for an interview regarding the opera, which I presume that he's either done or close to done in terms of the writing. And they did say that they said no. So not the greatest email in the world. But no, I'm kidding. They basically say he's not doing any interviews at this time. To which I sent a very polite reply. Thank you very much. Appreciate your, you know, taking the time to contact me. And please keep me in mind if he starts doing interviews. If he's doing interviews, please keep me in mind. Knock on wood, cross our fingers, maybe 6 months from now we'll get something, who knows. But I'm not holding my breath. But at least they responded to the email and actually responded to my request. Didn't just blow it off like I'm kind of used to, or didn't just let's say like Live Nation, yeah, just make me jump through hoops that amounted to nothing. If you can tell, I'm really pissed off at Live Nation, by the way, if you want to know the truth. And part of it is that if she'd have said, no, we really don't send podcasts to concerts, she's okay, whatever. I still wouldn't be pleased, but at least that's a response. But she actually sent me through a bunch of hoops that ended up being they weren't interested in me, and they weren't, they, you know, they're big dicks, and so there you go. Don't expect Live Nation, by the way. Don't be sending me your promo information expecting me to pass it on, because I won't. It just saying, I get a lot of that sort of thing. If it comes in from Live Nation telling me there's a concert or something, it's getting deleted. I don't care. I don't care if it's Jimmy Page playing Toronto. I don't. Well, okay, that'll get passed on. But it won't get passed on under Live Nation's banner. I'm telling you now, I will never mention them on my blog. I'll never mention them here in a positive light. All right. So here's what Robert Plant played in Toronto. Started up with Trampled Underfoot, Turn It Up, Black Dog, Rainbow, Black Country Woman, Spoonful, The Rain Song, No Place to Go / Dazed and Confused, The Lemon Song, Little Maggie, Crawling Kingsnake, Whole Lot of Love / Who Do You Love, and then the encore of Satan, Your Kingdom Must Come Down / In My Time of Dying, and Rock and Roll. And so the intro was, I think I called it, because Killing Floor, it's really the Lemon Song. I think it was labeled as Killing Floor. I think is why I kind of penciled it in that way. But the Lemon Song. And you heard him introduce the band. There's actually an introduction of the band in there that I cut out. But the audience is going nuts. They're just loving the show. It sounded like a great show. And you know, I'm not always big on the Robert Plant shows. People who listen to this regularly know I can be a bit down on them. I'm not big on some of the stuff he does. More the style, right? But it sounded like a great show. It sounded like people were just loving it. And it's not been, like I said, I've seen, it's not been hit the bootleg sites. But two shows from Saturday did hit the bootleg sites. I forget the name of the festival. I apologize. I don't think I have it on me. Maybe here. Let's see what we got. No. I'm not gonna, I don't think here we are. Oh, you know what I got? I got them. So it was two shows in the same day for this. This is. Now, I have it as different. I have it as the 13th and the 12th. Let's see what it says. September 13th, Sunday, Lochan Festival in Arlington, Virginia. This is the Sunday. And it was the closing set of the Lochan Festival. And then the Saturday show, the Saturday Lochan Festival, it doesn't say, I'm guessing they closed the night that night too, but who knows. Same guy recorded these two shows. And he kind of played two slightly different sets. I'm trying to think, Black Dog, Rainbow. Whole Lot of Love, seems to, then Little Maggie, seemed to be the common, but they're available, and they're, so that's the weekend before the Toronto set. A lot of the stuff from the Toronto set makes it on. I'm going to run these. The Saturday set is Trampled Underfoot, Turn It Up, Black Dog, Rainbow, so that's the first four songs from Toronto as well. No Place to Go, Dazed and Confused. Lists them as two different songs, but they're, you know, they're not. Band intros, Lemon Song. Little Maggie, I just want to make love to you, whole lot of love, who do you love, whole lot of love, and then rock and roll on the encore. That's the first Lonka Festival. Second Lonka Festival goes Wonton Song, Tin Pan Valley, Black Dog, Rainbow, Custard Pie, Spoonful, Going to California, The Enchanter, Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You, Little Maggie, Fixin' to Die, Smokestack, Lightning, Whole Lot of Love, Mona, Whole Lot of Love, and Satan, Your Kingdom Must Come Down, In My Time of Dying. So the Saturday set is more or less what we got in Toronto, except for the Satan, Your Kingdom Must Come Down. And then a few more songs. Black Country Woman, Spoonful of Rain song. But they're out there to listen to, and they sound great. And stuff like Trampled Underfoot, they're doing straight up Led Zeppelin style. You heard a bit of the Lemon song, doing it straight up Led Zeppelin style. You will hear Black Country Woman, straight up Led Zeppelin style. He's really pushing into that side of it. I wonder if... Here's a thought. Somebody on one of the news groups... sort of thing, kind of said, kind of got into that, oh, you know, Robert's doing, doesn't want to do Zeppelin, but he's doing 50% Zeppelin anyway, and there was some discussion about why is he doing so much. But I'm more interested that he's doing it Zeppelin style more than he's doing it his own whatever style, the world music style or whatever he's been doing the last couple of years. He's really pushed back into it. And I wonder if now that pretty much everybody has given up on the Led Zeppelin reunion. It's not going to happen, people. If you're still thinking that, I hate to disappoint you. Not happening. But it's a pet peeve with Robert Plant through the years. Oh, everybody won't leave this alone. And you wonder if now that everybody seems to have gotten the message, including Jimmy Page, and even Jimmy Page has said, look, it's not going to happen. And even, you know, this podcast, geez, hey, I'm saying it's not gonna happen. Everybody's bought into that idea. but, you know, I originally started this blog as the Led Zeppelin Reunion blog. So, you know, I was on board. But, and maybe he feels more free to dip into that stuff without getting people's hopes up, without having to answer a bunch of questions about, oh, you're kind of playing the Rain song, and your boy, Lemon song's very Led Zeppelin-y. You've been rehearsing with Jimmy. Nobody's asking those questions anymore. So maybe he feels more free to go there. And I'm, you know, where he's at right now, as a fan, I like, and this is where I like him, the way I like him singing better. I have complained in the past about his kind of, to me, boring style. And I've complained about what he does to Led Zeppelin songs, but more, you know, the playing the Led Zeppelin songs isn't an issue. He's the Led Zeppelin singer, and he ought to be, and you'd be peeved if you went to see him. And he wasn't at this stage in his career. Wasn't playing Zeppelin, right? However, I mean, if he wasn't, how many people do you think he'd have at the shows? You know, would he be playing? Would he be worth him touring? Let's put it that way. You know, would he be playing for 60 or 80 people? Would he be maybe more than that? But I mean, he'd be smallish bars, right? He'd be a few hundred people or to 1,000 maybe in a bar instead of, you know, instead of whatever. Most of the amphitheaters, 10,000, I think. So, but by doing, you know, Kick It Out, Trampled Underfoot, and Lemon Song, he's able to keep playing these places. So it's worth him doing, and I have no objection to him doing that, and I understand. I just never like that he kind of bad mouths the idea of doing it while doing it. Has always bothered me. He seems to have given up on that. He seems to not be doing that these days. Seems to be embracing the whole Led Zeppelin thing a bit. And yet, again, nobody thinks it's going to be a reunion anytime soon. So, yeah, maybe that's just freed him up a little to enjoy that aspect of his career, you think? But did I mention Rock and Roll as an encore? I think I finished with Satan, Your Kingdom Must Come Down for Toronto. Satan, Your Kingdom Must Come Down, In My Time of Dying, and Rock and Roll as the encores. I'm not sure if I mentioned Rock and Roll. I just upped the page there, and that's... Okay, so, by the way, here's the shows. A lot of these are the redos. He was sick last spring and he missed some shows. And so this is what you're getting is the redos. And here's what I've got from his website. September 10th, the Meadowbrook Music Festival in Rochester Hills. It says the 11th is the Lock-In Festival in Arrington, USA. I think it must have been the 11th, 12th, 13th, because we had dates of the 12th and 13th, right? Isn't that what I had? Yeah, 12th and 13th. So it must have been a week-long festival, the 11th, 12th, 13th, right? Toronto was September 15th at the Molson Canadian Amphitheatre. Port Chester, USA on the 17th. That was last Thursday. The Capitol Theatre. And just give me a second while I click on the link. And coming up, the 18th would have been Friday at the Hammerstein Ballroom in New York, which was apparently a raucous, really good raucous show. And the 20th was yesterday, Sunday, Blue Hills Bank Pavilion in Boston. You Boston bastards were in Toronto beating our Toronto Blue Jays, by the way. So if you listen from Boston, hope you enjoyed your show. and people listening to this in Finland going, what is he talking about? What is he even talking about? Okay, and so coming tomorrow, Tuesday the 22nd of September, the Murat Theater in Indianapolis, and the 23rd, the First Merit Bank Pavilion in Chicago. I can't do anything other than say go. He's just in great form right now. He's putting on a great show. Go. I know our favorite Chicago listener is probably on his way, probably standing in line now for the Wednesday show. But it really looks like, he really sounds like he's worth going to right now. So do it. Do it. And that's the last of his shows. And there he's talking about, there has been some whisper apparently that the Sensational Space Shifters part of his career is over. This is it. And I don't know what else to tell you. He's posted, I think, on... I'm going to look and see if his... if it's on here. No, I'm not seeing it. But he's apparently on stage been saying, we're pretty much done with this. This part of this, I'm blanking on the word I want, but he's pretty much said, no, this isn't, this is it. And I guess there was a posting on Facebook or something. I'm looking for it on his webpage, but I'm not seeing it. But I believe there was a posting that indicated that he was, he was over, with playing with a Sensational Play. And maybe it's not. Maybe it's, here I'm looking at it here. This week, Robert Plant and the Sensational Space Shifters' final stretch of the Lullaby and the Ceaseless World Tour occurs. Yes. Marking the end of an epic 3.5-year run for the ensemble. What occurs next? Who knows? That's being read as, and I kind of semi-read that as, it's done. Maybe he means to go to the studio and do another one, but it sounds like the Sensational Space Shifter side of things may be over. What's he got up next? Who knows? Let's hope it involves keeping rocking the way he has been doing. And it's almost a pity that this has gotten to where it's got, that now he's gone, it's time to move on. Let's go play with, I don't know. I'm afraid to ask. James Galway or something. Me and Cleo Lane gonna do some old World War II songs. So if you get a chance to get, maybe the last chance to see this particular band, and this particular band is smoking right now. So if you get a chance to go to those last two shows, I would do it. And I think that's it. I think that's a wrap, folks. I hope you've enjoyed this week. You know, we got some John Paul Jones in there for you, hopefully. At least we've opened communications with his people, and I know for sure I have their right email address. And maybe Jimmy's, who knows what's going on with Jimmy. Hopefully, it's encouraging that he's at least seems to be getting his guitars out of storage. And a whole new avenue is opening up for Robert, I guess. And let's hope he keeps on kicking ass the way he's been doing lately. So it's a kind of a good news podcast this week. This is Gary Gnu signing off. All the kids of the 80s just went, oh my God, I can't believe he said that. That's it for Ramble On Radio, episode 106. Check rambleonradio.com for news on this week's podcast, Led Zeppelin news and reviews, and any links I might mention in today's podcast. Follow Ramble On Radio on Facebook, Google+, and at Ramble On Blog on Twitter. And if you're on Facebook, I can't recommend following us enough, because really most of the conversation, social media sites, seems to go there. You can subscribe to Ramble On Radio through iTunes. If you're in iTunes for any reason, picking up Robert Plant's More Roar, for instance, or getting an upgraded version of Pictures at 11 or The Firm's first album, for instance, pop over to Ramble On Radio. Just do a quick Google search. It comes up quick, and leave a review. Listen on Spreaker, Spreaker.com. And be sure to follow Ramble On Radio on Spreaker. And check it out at Ramble On Radio on YouTube. Thank you for listening to Ramble On Radio, episode 106. And here is Robert Plant and the Sensational Space Shifters in Toronto last Tuesday, the 17th, of September, playing a Black Country Woman.
was rather nice.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Switch off the internet.